I want to thank Rebecca and Jackson and Katie and every music leader and worship leader. We are so blessed by so many people sharing your gifts in this place. Thank you. I am eager for what God might do today through this service. We sometimes think of this Bible, this book, as ancient, as old and irrelevant, not really having anything to speak to us today. Because times were so different then when Paul was sending this letter to the people of the church of Philippi. I mean, they had in their city, they had these huge posts, these towering columns that had inscriptions on them about how fantastic Caesar was and just the accomplishments he had done. It was right there, their post, right in their city. Everywhere they walk, they would see this every day. It's so different now. I mean, rank really mattered, status mattered. It's so different. Okay, yes, I'm being sarcastic. It's like the woman who says to her husband, "Honey, why didn't you like my post?" And he's like, "I did like your post. I'm in your post. I was there when your post happened. I told you I liked it." She's like, "No, but you need to like it. I need people to see that you like it." Right? This is our struggle today still. Status and wanting acclamation. I'll tell you an embarrassing story about myself for the hope that this helps someone. This is my high school yearbook from my senior year in high school. And we had this really bad tradition where seniors would write in there our own achievements from the past 4 years. So every club that we'd been in, every award that we'd been given was all listed here. And me and my ego, well, I probably can't find the page right now, but me and my ego, I wanted my list to be longer than everybody else's list. Me being an overachiever, driven by status, wanted my list to be long. I was looking at this list last night. It was so embarrassing. I did things like, I said, marching band, pep band, concert band. I could have just said band, but I was trying to make it longer. So it's such a shame. But at the time, I was so proud of this list. I was so proud of my accomplishments. It made me feel good. And here's what Paul would say about that list. It's garbage. It is garbage. Paul's first three reasons for boasting in this passage all have to do with his lineage, his family history, where he came from. It's like the Mennonite game at its worst, right? Like the Mennonite game, the intent is to connect people, to build a bridge, to build relationship. But if you don't have the right last name, you're excluded from the game. I'm a Piper. No shade to my family. I love the last name Piper. Happy to be a Piper. Piper's not well known in Mennonite circles. But Paul writes, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Mennonite of Mennonites. My parents were Miller and Yoder. A Mennonite of Mennonites. And Paul says, it's garbage. It's garbage. Garbage in comparison to our identity with Jesus. For everyone here who has ever been excluded or not had the right last name or not been able to play the game or not knowing the rules of the game, ever been excluded for any reason, I am sorry that happened to you. I am sorry that the church has been a place that excludes other people. I have loved living simply this Mennonite value for most of my adult life. which is ironic because I still have way too much stuff. If we were to take all of our things to gift and thrift that we didn't need, notice I didn't say take our garbage, I don't know the policy, Lori, but gently used, gently worn items, right? If we were to take all of our things there, we could still miss the point of living simply. Living simply, the goal of it is so that we are depending on Jesus. And we're missing that. Our confession of faith says we believe everything belongs to God. Do we? It reminds me of going on a cross-cultural to the Middle East in college. The first place that we went was to Egypt. I think we spent about 3 weeks there. And one of the first places that we went when we landed in Egypt was a place called Garbage City. It is what it sounds like. And so this tour bus of 30 or so, mostly privileged, mostly white students, pulls up in front of this landfill where people have their homes. And we get out, and we're led up the hill, past people's houses that were, I don't know if they even had walls, some of them, but they had these sheets of metal, scraps of metal that they had found for roofs and other things that they had salvaged from the landfill that was their backyard and their front yard. I mean, there was no grass, right? There's children everywhere. We're led up into the middle of this city, and they had buildings where they did presentations for us about how they were teaching the women to sew, and they were teaching them crafts, and the women were using items that they had found in the landfill. So after this presentation, they say, we can go into the next room, and they have a gift shop. You're welcome to buy anything. I imagine that our group probably spent a couple $100s there. We thought we were poor college kids, and we spent a couple $100s there buying comforters and pillowcases and rugs and purses that they had made there from garbage in the city. And we were walking out back to our bus, and there was this brown, oozy liquid along our path that we tried to dodge with our steps, but would come up onto our tevas and onto our pant legs. And there was this one person I remember who'd bought a comforter. It was huge and awkward. And so she's trying to juggle this and trying to dodge around the brown ooze. And we walk past one person's house, and for several of us, as we walked by, she's just grinning for everything she's worth. Hardly any teeth in her mouth, but she's just grinning a mile wide. And she says, "Salam, peace. Thank you for coming." She pressed these little pieces of carrot into our hands as we walked by. And the germaphobes of us looked at one another and said, "What do we do?" And the compassionate ones of us looked at each other and said, "What do we do?" Some of us ate the pieces of carrot. Some of us tried to figure out how to discreetly drop the carrot on the ground. A trail of orange pieces led its way back to the bus. How do you drop a carrot so it doesn't fall in the brown ooze? And yet a child can find it. We live in a world where one person's trash is another person's treasure. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake, oh, they will find it. She was grinning from ear to ear. What is really garbage? Maybe the biggest garbage is to be given a gift that someone else toiled for and sacrificed for, and to think we don't even need it or want it. Paul invites the people of the church of Philippi and us to take out the garbage. And once we've let that go, to be able to receive something far greater, the miracle that was given to us at our baptism, dripping off our chins. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And we turn our back on it, thinking we don't need that, but that's just for others. Come, know the power of my resurrection. That's what I hear God saying. Why do we choose garbage over life? Paul says he has lost all things so that he can gain Christ, and we do the opposite. We let go of Christ in an attempt to gain all things. I have an evolving theory about this. I welcome your collaboration. Part one of the theory is that I have avoided the downward mobility that Lori preached about last week because I'm trying to avoid my own suffering. And the problem with trying to limit my own suffering is the road of life. This is what it means to be human, that we're going to suffer. Trying to limit our suffering by avoiding discipleship is like trying to hold a balloon down underneath the water. That balloon is going to rise and we're all going to get wet anyway. Part two of my theory for why we choose garbage over life, and incidentally why we try to limit our own suffering, is we don't really know God yet. If we trust God's goodness, we'd be less concerned about avoiding suffering and more hopeful and joyful like Paul in prison. We'd be more confident in what God is doing and be banking our lives on the faithfulness of Christ, which is the whole reason why we're in right relationship with God and empowered to be in right relationship with others. Joy comes not from an absence of obstacles, but from the presence of Christ. So I'll tell you a personal story about that. The summer before my senior year of high school, I decided I wanted to be baptized. I wanted to know what I believed and why I believed it. Well, that senior year, my parents were going through a divorce. We were all suffering and not at our best. And I would come home from school and go up to my room and close the door. I sat on the floor and I pulled out my Bible. And when I did so, I found it was words of life. It was words that spoke to my present situation somehow. I found hope and joy in what I read, even though much of it I didn't understand. I found myself in that story, that there was nothing I could do to earn God, and yet I had been given everything. I'm going to just share a quick story. This is one of Philip Yancey's books, What's So Amazing About Grace. It's fantastic. I recommend it. I recommend the Bible even more, but this is also fantastic. He writes a story about when he was in church as a child, and he says they conducted an annual fundraising drive for foreign missions. From the pulpit, the pastor would call out the names and amounts of each pledge that came in. Just for the record, I don't know what anybody gives. I don't want to know. Okay. I'm saying that myself. Okay. Back to his story. Mr. Jones, he says, $500. And listen to this. The Sanderson family, $2,000. Praise the Lord. We all applauded and said amen. And the Sandersons, they beamed. As a child, I craved that kind of public recognition, not to further the cause of foreign missions, but to get approval and acclaim. Once I hauled a large bag of pennies down front, and never did I feel more righteous than when the pastor stopped the proceedings, commended me, and prayed over my pennies. I had my reward. Will we choose garbage, or will we choose the gospel? I want to do what we sang about. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. May God make it so. Amen.